And if you can hear my voice and you're in the sanctuary, that is my gracious encouragement for you to finish topping off your hot beverage from the back and to return to your seats and open in your scriptures to the book of Psalms. And we are going to look at Psalm 37 in a series that we have developed as pastors. You see the graphic behind me, Living in Hope Anchored in the Gospel. And this reflection, and it is a reflection, it's not an exposition of Psalm 37, I hope will be both personally significant for you, practically helpful for you, but prophetic in the sense of envisioning you for what God is doing and continues to do as we do this. I also invite you to pray with me as we've been praying about this series and really considering how we feel like the Lord has identified hope as the theme for 2026. And by hope, I do mean biblical hope, the confident expectation that God is at work and faithful to his promises in our lives today. There is a evangelistic study, if you would call it, by Rico Tice. Rico is from Great Britain, that the people at Good News Publishers, I think that's their name, has put together. And as I was looking at it, I was thinking of people in my life, and maybe you have people in your life, who may or may not realize how hopeless they are, but they do understand at some level that Christians claim to be hopeful in the midst of circumstantial trauma and trial. And so in looking at that, I've been, Lord, would you have us lead in a way, not that necessarily it would be here, but it would be something that we would do in those networks and among those groups of people that we're interacting with. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to me more about it. I'm praying about it. There's some people I have in mind. But I think hope is one of the, can I use this language, is one of the secret weapons of the gospel. Because whether the culture acknowledges it or not, they are hopeless. And the abundance of New Year's resolutions that fills our cultural landscape and feeds tells me they're longing for change, they're longing for solutions, they're longing for new, but I think they're weary and confused and at times afraid of how little they have control of. And so I think it's an opportunity to win people to Christ through the hope that he is. As we've said in our series before, hope is not an idea. It's certainly not a philosophy. It's a person. And when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are walking with the King of Hope. And so we want to experience that and use that evangelistically. Psalm 37, David knew some things about hope. As he was walking with the Lord and was walking faithfully in the steps that Yahweh, his Redeemer, laid out for him. And I'm going to be reading verses 23 and 24 only for now. This is a reflection, not an exposition of Psalm 37. And we will be moving to some other scriptures as well. But the theme is the same, steadying our steps into the new year. Let's pray, and then we'll read Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23. Father, we thank you for your word that is, as the writer of Hebrews says, living and active and able to not only renew our minds, change our perspectives, but Lord, do even a deeper work in our hearts. And so we pray through the agency of your Spirit, through the presence of your Holy Spirit, as we consider these hopeful words from Psalm 37, from 1 Peter, from John's gospel, Lord, that you would meet us, and in meeting us, we would anchor our hope freshly, firmly, and by faith, completely in Christ. For your glory and our good, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23. If you're joining us on the stream, these words will be projected behind me, and you can follow along. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I'm going to go ahead, Jim, and read verse 25 and 26, so I won't be commenting on it. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously. His children have become a blessing. This is God's word. Thanks be to him for it. So, Americans are very fond of making New Year's resolutions as they step into the new year. There is a site called Statista that listed the top resolutions by Americans as we begin a new year. And Jim, I don't know if you're able to project this. There it is. I don't know how they collected this. These weren't necessarily yours or mine, but these are what many people are saying as they begin a new year, as they step into a new year, they are giving themselves to. So to exercise more, almost half of those who are making resolutions have said that to save more money, close second, to eat healthier, to spend more time with family and friends, to lose weight, to improve my performance on the job, to do more for the environment, and to reduce stress on the job. So, I don't know what your New Year's resolutions are. Apparently, many of our neighbors, coworkers, and friends fall into these categories of making resolutions and aiming those resolutions at these areas of their life. They're understandable. But as we step into the new year, for others of us, in addition to making resolutions, some of us are stepping into the new year, and what has confronted us is the reality that my life seems uncertain right now. My circumstances seem to be in turmoil. And so although I'm stepping into a new year, rather than focusing on resolutions, my mind is consumed, my schedule is filled, my emotions are being drawn to these circumstances that have suddenly found me, and I am struggling. And so we need the comfort of Scripture and the promises it brings to us so that as we step into those unsettled circumstances, we are also exercising the privilege to have hope in Christ and to receive his hope from. So next week, Dan will preach on anchoring our hopes using the letter to the Hebrews in Christ. And then Dave will conclude the series on a message on the hope of heaven from 1 Peter's epistle. But here's my main point this morning. When we have biblical hope, when biblical hope is our experience and reality, we are able to take each next step in faith, resting in the assurance that the Lord who orders our way will uphold you when you stumble. And I'm drawing that from the verses we read from Psalm 37. David was able to take the next step in faith. We are able, through Christ, our King, to take each next step in faith, resting in the assurance that not only the Lord orders our way, but he upholds us when we stumble. And so two real simple reflections, which is really not so much to inform you of something, but to frame something for you so that when you leave here today, you can go with practical, personal, and I would suggest to you prophetic, meaning they're envisioning applications, and therefore live in hope. The two reflections are simply this: our steps are ordered, and our stumblings are never final. That's the hope David had, that his steps were ordered by Yahweh, his Redeemer, his King, Israel's Lord, and his stumblings are never final. This is not a New Year's resolution, but it is getting back for me onto a habit, if you will, a practice that was more functional when temperatures were warmer. But for the last 3 or 4 days, I've been getting outside walking and walking some of the walks that I did this fall. Of course, many of those walks are covered with snow and there's some icy patches. But a few years ago, I remember the phenomena, you may remember too, that Fitbod watch that everybody got, or everybody's gifting Fitbods. Is that what they're called? You know, those little, and they count your steps. And then my phone now has a thing that counts my steps. And then my daughter moved me to a watch that counts my step. And so, I mean, it's not a humble brag, but yesterday, after 3 or 4 days of trying to get back to what I did, I think I walked almost like 14,000 steps. So that's pretty good for me. Took 3 different times going out, but just trying to get back to. But you know, it didn't really dawn on me that as I was walking, that there was a risk that the paths that I walked, which were icy, I could walk on, slip, and actually sustain an injury. And then, of course, Attleboro isn't known to have the safest drivers in the Commonwealth. I'm sure they're better than maybe where you live, but they clearly don't respect walkers. When you step off of an icy path into the road, they do not honor that, give 3 to 5 feet. You know, they go whirring right by you as if you're an interruption to wherever they're going. And even though I walk against traffic a lot of times, they hug it close. And so my point is, I'm walking, and my focus is on the goal of finishing my walk, because I want to close my ring, which is an exercise ring on my watch, or I want to get my heart rate up to a certain level. And I've got these goals. And as I'm walking, nowhere in my inventory is, what if I slip? What if I fall? What if I'm injured when I slip and fall? It's not even on the radar. It's just, I got a goal. I'm going to walk. And I feel very good about my ability to complete this walk. And of course, the reality is, as I'm walking and looking at my watch and praying and walking around, I do slip. I stumble. I didn't fall. That's where my gifted athleticism came in. But if I had fallen, it was unplanned, unexpected, and may have resulted in an injury, a hip injury, twisted ankle, let alone being clipped by a car. You know, Lord have mercy, because the person, David is walking, not literally, figuratively. This is a psalm written by the King of Israel, who is exercising his rule on behalf of the nation that Yahweh has established him as king. And as the psalm begins, in fact, Psalm 36 as it ends, and as Psalm 37 begins, if you just look back with me briefly, he is being threatened by evildoers. God's chosen king, God's promised king, through whom his descendants will come forth the Messiah, he is being assaulted by evildoers. Look at verse 12 of chapter 36. The evildoer's life fallen, they are thrust down, unable to rise. And then he begins, verse 1, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. So whatever the plot was against him, it was put down, but the evildoers remain. The threat to his kingdom are ever present. The opposition to God's purposes remain fully engaged with him. It's a psalm written in the midst of circumstance and turmoil. And the end of the psalm, verse 40, the Lord helps them. The Lord delivers them. He delivers them, speaking of David and his people, from the wicked. He saves them because they take refuge in him. So at the beginning of the psalm, God's chosen one through whom will come Christ himself is being undermined, plotted against, attacked by wicked people. And the end of the psalm, the wicked have not gone away, but the Lord is and remains his hope, his refuge, his assurance. See, I think, and maybe you're not like me, but I think my hope primarily rests in circumstantial peace. And I'm hopeful when circumstances are orderly and going according to what I expected. But when there's an unexpected change, when there is an interruption to the plan, when things happen that just seem, this is way beyond what I imagined or hoped in, my hope is vulnerable. My hope can diminish. And then this conversation begins with the Lord, because I'm a Christian. God, what are you doing? What are you up to? Why is this happening? And there's this wrestling that is going on internally inside of me. And I imagine for some of you, that awaits the hope of verse 23 and 24. The steps of a man, the steps of a believer in Christ, the steps of a sister in Christ are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. So let me define hope, and then I want to talk about these steps, and then I have an application question for you. Hope is the confident expectation rooted in the character and promises of God. And so when David says in verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, he's not simply saying God is sovereign. He's saying the sovereign creator and Lord of everything is also in a personal, intimate relationship with me. Yahweh, that's relational at its core. Although he's magnificent and he's omnipotent and he's almighty, he's personally involved. He's present and he cares for his people. The steps of a man are established in the Lord. So David, in this verse, is reflecting on his life. We read that, verse 25, I have been young and now old. David, as he looks back at his life and even these particular circumstances that were life-threatening, David is able to say with confidence, the entire course of my life, all of my decisions, the details, for those of you who are more detail-oriented of me, the details of my life, were established by the Lord. I hope this didn't happen to you, but it certainly happened to many people this Christmas season with the purchases that they made. They're waking up now having to pay for those purchases, right? Not just the gifts that you generously gave, but the purchases you made. And they're experiencing this unique phenomena, buyer's remorse. The coffee maker they got isn't quite as great as they thought. The sweater they bought with that gift card isn't quite as warm as the advertisers suggested. The new app on my phone, which is AI powered, that's going to change my everything, is just an experience as buyer's remorse because they spent some money on it. And now they're living with, I don't know that I'll use that or didn't meet my expectations. David has no buyer's remorse at the end of his life. There's not a hint of regret or even despondency at the end of his life, even though his life has been anything but smooth sailing. What enables that calm, confident, hopeful life of David? Well, his hope is anchored in God's loving sovereignty and grace. He is absolutely persuaded that not only God is in control, but that the one who is in control loves him, is with him and with his people, and is establishing his steps even as he. And so when we get to the second verse, there's your application. This is where I know you're not just readers of scripture or students of scripture, but Bauer, do you do the scripture? It says he delights in his way. Not did you have your quiet time. You can always ask me that, right? I'm the reading plan guy. But as you read the scripture, are you delighting in his way? Well, but Lord, circumstantially, I don't really like the way you have me on. And the Lord is saying from this psalm, I invite you to delight in the way because I am with you. And my good purposes are there to perform in you and through you. And although circumstantially, yes, do pray for a change, you can delight in the Lord and in his way because his purposes are more than the destination of where this path is leading, but his purposes are to deepen our dependency, gratefulness, and even conformity to the image of Christ as we walk with him. I imagine for parents and grandparents, you've had this experience more than once, but you're crossing a busy street and you have one of your young children or grandchildren that has this urge to run ahead. Even though it says you can walk, the signal says you can walk, the child wants to run ahead. And you, as a wise parent, probably at times don't trust necessarily the traffic and the drivers that are picking up those signals. And so you firmly grab the hand of the young person as you walk across the street with them. I've had that experience when my children were younger. And I can particularly remember one where we clearly had the right of way. And for whatever reason, as we're walking across this busy street and I'm holding firmly my daughter's hand, a car raced through the intersection. I'm like, huh? So it's not just in Philadelphia there's bad drivers. What I wasn't expecting was walking my 93-year-old mom into her assisted living facility. and having her hold to my arm with a death grip as she had to walk, not 14,000 steps, but walk, I don't know, 200 steps from the parking lot, through the lobby, in the elevator, and to her new. And she held my arm, and she could have broken my arm off. I mean, my mom's strong. And she let me know, do not let me fall, Bauer. Mom, I don't think you're ever going to fall. I mean, I'm holding you, but you've got this. You got this arm. And I'm holding you, and you're holding me. And if you fall, I'm falling. I'm going with you, but we're going to get you to that room. And she got there, but it was sort of, I remember walking my daughters. It's a different experience when you're walking your mom. Imagine our Father in heaven as you face these uncertain circumstances. Can you imagine? He's walking arm in arm with you. I think sometimes it's hard for me to picture that because I believe in his sovereignty, but I'm not convinced of his care. And so I head into these circumstances where it's changing and it isn't my plan. And yes, I want my bedrock to be in, God, you're in control, but I want to delight in his way. So I have to know. I have to know in my knower. I have to root myself through scripture in this reality. He is with me. He loves me. He cares for me, and he will never forsake me. Jim, let's jump ahead to John 8. This is the gospel promise that Jesus made to his disciples and to us in the gospels, which we know, but I'm recommending that we bring it back out and we read it again to ourselves. John 10, excuse me. I give them, Jesus says, eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. In other words, he's got a hold of us. Not just in heaven, he's got a hold of us right now. And so that's where our delight needs to be. Not in, I've got a plan and I've got a list, and plans and lists are good, and I can only be delightful when I get to the end of my plan and my list. Or I can only go to sleep when I get to the end of my... No, that's a hope that's rooted in yourself. And you need to really be more honest about, Lord, I want my hope to be in you. Only you get to the end of your lists. Only you answer all your emails. Only you have control of these circumstances. So my steps are established by the Lord. Wayne delights in his way. When Linda and I were walking through the trauma of Brittany last summer, there were just days where, like, we didn't know what the next step was. I mean, we were just in the dark. The doctors didn't know what was the next step. And yet they knew they couldn't do nothing. And so when you don't know, and the people who should know don't know, we were talking about this on the drive to work, you start talking to the one who does know. And you're not talking to yourself. You're talking to Jesus. You're talking to the Father. You are talking and you are claiming promises like Psalm 37. Lord, I am delighting in your nearness today, even as I am freaked out over the uncertainty of what's happening with our daughter. Father, Son, Spirit, have mercy and give hope to my soul that you have this. That's part of what God is doing when we are unsettled in our circumstances. He's bringing us to that place of delighting in the Lord, not just in his ways, but delighting in the Lord and finding in the Lord through his presence and his comfort and the promises he gives. Lord, I can't even see what the next week holds, let alone the next step. You're enough. Increase my love for you. So, question. Where are you anchoring your hope as we step into the new year? Do you find yourself trusting more in God's promises? Or are you relying more on your own control, your own plans, your own sense of security? Psalm 37 encourages us to delight in Him and His way, for your steps are established by the Lord. If you're not a believer, I want to invite you that Jesus, in calling people into a relationship with Himself, said, I am the way. As you begin a relationship with Him, He takes you on an adventure with Him as the way. Now, He is the way to heaven. So for the forgiveness of your sins, you must receive Christ's death in your place on the cross and His shed blood to satisfy God's justice for your sins, which is His wrath, which is hell, which is what Scripture speaks of as judgment. But He is the way into forgiveness through believing in Him, amen? And through receiving Him into our hearts and by the Spirit, submitting our life to His Lordship every day. So if you're not a Christian, I invite you to do that today, for He does make this promise when you do. Your steps in Christ will be established. So delight in Him. Last point. We not only are given in this psalm this wonderful assurance that our steps are ordered, but grace upon grace, our stumblings are never final. Our stumblings are never final. Though he fall, verse 24, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord, there it is again, his covenant name, for the Lord upholds his hand. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. So although our steps are ordered and God guides his people, that does not prevent you from falling, from stumbling. Now, I did some Hebrew on this. I can't pronounce Hebrew words. Some of you can. But the word stumble in here is not a moral failure. It's not a grievous sin. And we, if you're familiar with David's story, he committed some grievous actions. This is the stumbling that occurs. And I have stumbled this way. When circumstances change, when unexpectedly things are happening and you get knocked off your path. Suddenly, right, the phone rings and you get a call and your daughter's in the emergency room. Suddenly, right, you have to go to the hospital and you don't realize something's wrong and they're discovering something that is more than just a chest cold. Suddenly, you're told by your employer, even though you've worked there for 16 years, this will be your last day working for us. And you're a Christian. And your promotions up to that point were probably God's favor. And suddenly, your job is ending. Unexpectedly, suddenly, right? Your circumstances change. Your horizon seems upended. Suddenly, and it causes you to stumble. it causes you to falter. I was counting my steps. I liked my heart rate. And suddenly, my feet slip out from under me. So what we see here is that hope, biblical hope, anticipates there will be stumbles along the way. Meaning, we falter. Suddenly, it's a poor time for humor. Your football team fumbles the ball. Suddenly, you have a financial need spring up, and it changes your ability to do things. There are stumbles for the righteous. They fall, they stumble, they experience weakness, and the godly cannot continue forward in the way that they want. Paul Tripp put it this way: the Bible never presents the Christian life as a straight line of constant progress. It is a path marked by grace, because it is a path marked by sudden weakness. You feeling weak in your uncertainty? You feeling upended? There is grace for the suddenlies in our life. There is new mercies for the path that we are on. The psalm does not say, if he falls. David says, though I fall, my hope is in the Lord, who upholds his hand. Hope must mean in Scripture that failure is not final. Weakness, our weakness, is not the end of the story. God does not define our identity and define our stories by our weakest moments. No, no. Our identity, our story, our hope is in Christ. Amen? There's a pastor, and I don't have permission to share this, but it was shared with me. It's such a good illustration. He's leading his congregation this year in how to grow in rejoicing in God's forgiveness, as well as encouraging one another to forgive each other. And basically he said, and I'll get this illustration wrong, but I think it points to this reality of where is our hope? When you are confident and able to rejoice in God's forgiveness of your past, you are able to say to the sins of your past, bye-bye. I don't need to think about them anymore. That's the gospel. We're righteous in Christ. We're forgiven of all of our sins. Bye-bye. I shouldn't feel any guilt or shame. I'm forgiven. My righteousness is in Christ. My past has been cleansed. It doesn't change what I did, but he has redeemed my past. Amen? So when I fall, when I stumble, when circumstances causes me to doubt and even knocks me off of my faith path in Christ, I'm able to say with the psalmist, the Lord still upholds my hand. That is so comforting to me. That is a gospel promise that announces every day of 2026, our stumblings are not final. God establishes our steps through our falls, not around them. And because of that, we can delight in the Lord that he upholds us when we stumble. Our confidence is that God is present, powerful, and faithful right here, right now, even when my faith is weak. I am being held by him in the present. So, what's the action item? I can hear one of our life group leaders saying, so what do you want me to do with that? Move ahead. Step ahead. We don't wait passively then for change. We obey what God is telling us to do, and we step forward. Jim, let's end with the Peter scripture I gave you. Peter was pastoring a group of people that needed to be encouraged in this regard. So in his second letter, he says in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, "His power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." Last two verses. "Therefore, my brothers, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So we can take the next faithful step in daily life. We recognize that our spiritual maturity is often about consistent small steps and not dramatic changes. By the Spirit's presence and God's word, God's guidance is active and ongoing. Even our setbacks are part of his sustaining work. So, what is one concrete step you can take today? As you begin 2026, what is one concrete step I can take today to obey or delight in the Lord? Maybe it is the sevens. Maybe you need to be stretched. Maybe it's time to start to flex our spiritual dependency and say, you know what? I don't want to go to the parsonage 7 days in a row, but I want to grow in prayer. Maybe it's Bible reading. Maybe not my Bible reading plans, but find someone you can read the Bible with or alongside of and grow in your intake of Scripture. Maybe it's more Christian music that actually worships the Lord. It actually focuses primarily on the Lord and not simply what he does for us, but who he is. There are those songs on Christian radio that aren't about him just changing our circumstances, but just magnifying his goodness and glory and grace. Maybe it is getting involved in life group, as you said. Just flexing more in that place of fellowship in order that those steps we need to take, we're continuing to take, or we're starting to take again. Maybe it's inviting someone to an evangelistic study on hope and having you lead it. Not a pastor. And testify as David testified. I'm not perfect, but the Lord upholds my hand. It's the beauty of the gospel. Even though I falter, even though I stumble, he is ordering my steps. The testimony of this church, the Lord has ordered our steps for 24 years. We should have been long gone by now. There are churches that are more successful, more famous, had more money that have closed since we started. And by God's grace, it's God's grace, we're still standing. That should be the testimony of every church. This is my 46-year walking with Jesus. There is no way I can take credit for that. Someone else must be holding me up, holding my hand. I know what's inside here. Is that your testimony? Is that your hope? When Dave preaches on death, I'll be sitting right there, and I'm going to be doing an honest diagnostic. Lord, it's not just getting to the other side, but as I approach that reality, is my hope in you, or is it in myself? because Scripture says, my faith can be certain even in the face. Yes. Isn't that good news? Do you think your neighbor wants that? Do you think your neighbor is starting to wear down from this and the circumstantial hopes of their resolutions? They are starving for it. And by God's grace, we can point them to scriptures like Psalm 37. I got better news for you. The Lord establishes the steps of his people. And when we falter, the Lord, what a picture, upholds us by his hand. That's my resolution for 2026. I want to boast in my weaknesses, and I want to boast in the hand that upholds me despite them. Let's pray. Lord, your Bible is full of good news. Sometimes it comes in small packages, like two verses from the Psalms. May we be this new year anchoring our lives and being anchored by your word and by the work of the Spirit and the mutual encouragement of others. May we be anchoring our hope in you. Make us an even more hopeful people as we continue in our journey together. And thank you for the gospel. As we read earlier in this service, we have been born again into a living hope, who is Christ the Lord. Fill us with more of that confident expectation that not only does God got this, he does, but he holds my hand every step of the way because of grace and mercy and your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.